No, that's what we're supposed to get up tonight. We're on Daf Lamed on Beis, but did we finish the Mishnah? No, we just started the Gemara, right. Okay, gather around. Page 60. Lamed on Beis. Says, you own that t-shirt from the 50s, right? I didn't think so. Okay. The, we might as well read the Mishnah again, the Mishnah at the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph, because we're going to refer back to that Mishnah. Bab 59, Aloch Zayin. Tiglachas HaTara Ketzad. How does it work when you get a haircut after, when you're tar? Maybe Shalosh Bemis, you brought three animals. Chatos, Ola, Ushlomim, all those three. Shoyeres HaShlomim, you slaughter the Shlomim, and Megaleach Aleim, and you shave after the Shlomim. Divrei Yehuda. Now, the way the Tosfos in the Bible interprets that means first you slaughter the Shlomim, then you take a haircut, then you bring the Chatos and Ola. The Rambam Paskins, that's the way, as we said last night, like the simple one, Chatos, Ola, Shlomim, then shave. Okay? That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. That's where the Rampaskins, that's where the Ushalmi learns. Right. Right, the Afrika quarter, that's right. Okay, Chashas, right. So, Rabbi Lezer, Mer Loim, Glechel, Chatos. You do first Chatos and then you shave. Shachatos, Kodems, Chomok, Chatos, always comes first. If you brought any one of them, first, and you shaved after that, that's okay. You're yotzei. Okay? Says Gemara on the Lamed Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, how do we know? Now, Rabbi Shimon Levi proposes, how we know the Kohen Rabbi Elezer, that the haircut precedes the Shlomim, because it says, Vesayil Yaseh, says the haircut, the ram should be done. Mato Malomer Yaseh, what does it mean, should be done? Obviously, you're going to do it. So there's an extra word, Yaseh, there, which we darshan, Hikdimbo Maiseh, there has to be a deed prior to doing the ayil. Besides doing the other karbonos, there must be another preliminary deed. What is that additional preliminary deed? That is the haircut. Hey, Rabbi Chanina Kohen Raimon, so Rabbi Chanina asked for Raimon, if you want to make such drushes, so I have another word which you must darshan, and you will find that you have no drosha to make upon it. V'aksiv, doesn't it say, V'aso ha-koedes mincha, so v'yes nizko. The Kohen should do the mincha, the flower offering, and the nesech, the wine libation of the nazir. Here also says, V'aso, me'ata v'aso. Does it mean, hiktibo ma'isa? Does it mean that the haircut has to precede it? Of course it has to precede it. Though we don't need Vasa in order to teach us that, because we know that the Mincha and the Sachim have to be brought, must be brought after the rest of the Karbanos. That's Allah. You only bring the libations and the flower offerings after you bring the rest of the Karban. So therefore, this also is totally superfluous. What are you going to dash with this one, huh? So says Mar Maikadun, says Mar, no, you know what? What's going on, Taka? How do we, what Taka is the source of the Drosha? Or how do we know, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the first one you bring is the Chatos, and then you shave me thereafter. And then it precedes the Shlomim. How do we know that? So Asar B'chim B'shem, this is my Pshah, the Gemara, unfortunately, don't seem to learn that way. Asar B'chim B'shem Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rabbi Chia said, name Rabbi Shimon Levi, She'im Gilechal Achz Mishlosh Ton Yotza. It's a Svolet. It says, everybody agrees that if you shave after one of the three Karbonos, that's enough. Right? So therefore, logic dictates always the first carbon in sequence is a chatos. So logic dictates that if you're yotzei after one of the carbonos, mistami, you should shave after the first carbon. It's just a simple logic, right? Rabbi Zira boy kum Rabbi Mona. The Shaitarizel changes it to Rabbi Ezra, for historical reasons. So he says, Rabbi Ezra boy kum Rabbi Mona. Man tana kol shchatos shebatora kormos lo hashomos. Who's the tana holds that all the chatos of I have to say one more thing. How we know that if you shave after any one of the korbanos yotzei, we know that because it says yaseh. That we know because of yaseh means each asiya is independent, right? No matter whatever we do, the chatos independently, the oil independently, shlom independently, whichever, it doesn't really matter which one comes first. Although the proper oil is chatos, oil, and shlomim. So therefore, whichever one you did first is fine. And therefore, once you did any one of them, you can do the Toyer Karmiyah thereafter. Okay. So it says more about Rabbi Ezra. According to Shai Tzera, welcome Rabbi Yama. Yes, from Rabbi Mara. Ma Tana? Who's the Tana Torahs? Kol Chatos in the Torah Kormos LaShamos. That all Chatos in the Torah precedes an Osham. Whenever you have to bring a Chatos in Osham, bring first the Chatos in Osham. Is it Rabbi Eliezer? Is it Rabbi Lezer who's the one who holds that way? That's a funny question. I'm not exactly sure what he's asking. It's obviously based on our Mishnah, that we see in our Mishnah, that first you bring the chatos and then you shave. So he must hold that chatos is always the first thing in the sequence. So he must be the author of the opinion that a chatos always precedes an osha. Says more, not necessarily. Rabbi Lezer, Rediv Yaakovli. Rabbi Lezer says, everybody agrees. Why? Kol chatos shebetorah kormos lo hashamos. Everybody agrees in the Svara that all chatos in the Torah precede hashamos. I don't know, it's very strange. I'm not sure exactly what the sequence is. But obviously there was a feeling that maybe our mission is unique. The answer is that no, it's universal. Do you know how to turn on the fans? Do you know how to turn on the fans? Can you turn them on, please? Thanks. Okay, so it's a strange sequence, but as where it says, it's not based solely on some aspect of not the zeros, which you find right blessed, but everybody holds away.
And where do you have an opportunity? I know the answer, but I don't remember. Will you have a chatos and an osham together?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't remember. probably I've gotten. That's an Oshem Toli, but there's an Oshem Vade, which is brought in a case where you're sure. It's a good question. I don't remember such a thing. Yeah. I don't know. Shkoyach. Okay. Halochas. Shingamil says, "Heavy shlosh behemos. If you bring three animals, for low pirish, you don't say which is which. So they're all different animals. Chatas is female. The olon shlomim are both male, and they're of different ages. I forget which ages they are. The ola is the first year its first year of life, and the shlomim, the isles, in its second year of life. So shingamil omer." Hey, Bishosh, maybe you bring three animals, low pirish, you don't say which is which. Ariel Chatos, the one which is suitable, Chatos. Taka makes a difference. Ariel Chatos, can you feel it? Ariel Chatos, Taka, if Chatos, the one which is suitable, Chatos, but it's Chatos. Ola, the one suitable for Ola, the core of Ola should be brought as Ola. The Shlomi, the one suitable, the Shlomi should be brought as Shlomi. Payanoitel Sal Rosho. So Sal Rosh Nizor. Now, what do you do after you bring the korbanos? You chop off your hair, the nazir, and you take your hair, mishalech tachas, and you throw it under the pot. Bingilech b'medina. Let's say a nazir doesn't actually have to go to the Beis Hamikdash, but the thing he can do it in Yerushalayim. So what does he do? He sends his hair in Federal Express. Mishalech tachas adud and throws it under the pot in which they're cooking the shlomi. There's even a Gemara Makas, I don't understand it. Tosefta Makas, the Brogachover brings it down, which says that somebody who was at an Ir Miklat, your father, where is his father? It's Magenza, I don't know where his father is. That a Nazir who's an Ir Miklat can't leave the Ir Miklat to come to his Korbanos Yerushalayim. So he sends his hair to Yerushalayim for every year. So I don't know how you do that, because Lamaisa, you can't take a haircut until you slaughter the Korbanos. How long are they going to wait to get the hair? So it must be an Ir Miklat very close to Yerushalayim in order to do that. or nowadays I guess they drive it in, but in the times of Beis HaMikdash, that was not a feasible possibility. Okay, so in any event, when you're shaving, when you're Torah, when you bring a shlomi, when you're shaving because you became Tomei, so there's no, in that case, there's no, there's no carbon shlomi. So you're not going to throw it under the pot, which you're cooking the shlomi. No, everybody throws under the pot. Even somebody who's Tomei, and the Gemara is going to explain how you have such a thing. Except for somebody who's Tomei and didn't make it to the Beis HaMikdash. So a Tor in the Beis HaMikdash, a Tor outside the Beis HaMikdash, a Tomei in the Beis HaMikdash, they all throw their hair under the pot. The only one who doesn't is the Nazir, who was Tomei and outside the Beis HaMikdash. So there's an important difference in the Girsa in the Mishnah between the Bible and the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says in Gilech b'medina mishalech tachas adud. If you shave, as I said, outside the Beis HaMikdash, even a murderer in his ear miklat, because he can't come to the city of refuge, he sends his hair to Yerushalayim under the pot. But in the Bavli, the Gir says loyem shalech tachzadut, that he wouldn't send it. So the Rambam paskins like the Yerushalmi's Gir in the Mishnah that he would send it under the pot. Okay, Havon Boy Memer says the Gemara. They want to say b'shalo pirish, that which he says their mission didn't specify, which is the carbon. B'soch piso pirish mista. He didn't mention in Yerushalayim, but he mentioned when he separated them at home. I mean, they said no. If he b'soch piso pirish, no. Even within his house, he didn't have to specify which is which carbon. Lama, why does he have to specify which is which carbon? Because behemo eino lehilchos tumas. By an animal, there's no such thing as a sasum. An animal. By a bird, it doesn't matter. The gender of the bird is not material. The age of the bird very often is not material. But by an animal, they're precise the parameters. What kind of animal can be brought as chatas? What is an olo? What is a shlomim? And therefore, since there are those precise parameters, so therefore, even in specify, we know by looking at the animals and seeing the gender and the ages, which animals are which korbanos. So you don't have to specify. Rabbi Yisrael Bun B'Shem Rav said, and this is also in the Bavli, and I did no recollection of this, Tovla Barotev, when he chops off his hair, he dips it in the sauce of the shlomim, because the shlomim, which is sitting on the in a pot, and then he throws it onto the fire. He throws the hair on the fire.
The sauce or in the blood?
What? In the sauce. No, in the sauce. My time, what pasuk teaches that? Says v'nosal esh, you put the shlomim on the fire. So we to learn that to mean apa zevach yabesh, not just the hair, but also the shlomim itself should be on the fire. So how do you do that? You take some of the sauce, put it applied to the hair, and then you toss it on the fire. Okay. The truth is, it probably is much better because burning hair stinks. But if you burn hair and dip it in the soy, marinate it, so that probably doesn't smell as bad. Okay, says the Gemara. Tani, we learned Hakol Mishali Dach Sadud, as we mentioned, everybody says puts his hair underneath the pot. Chutz Minat Tomei Shemigulin, except for the guy who's Tomei outside the Beis HaMikdash. Hatomei Shemigdash, the guy who's Tomei and is in the Beis HaMikdash, what carbon is he throw? What pot is he throwing his hair under? He doesn't bring a shlomi. So it says more tachas adut shel asham. He throws it under the pot which contains the carbon asham, right? Because the nazir starting brings an asham from which he, of course, does not eat, but the kohen in the Beis HaMikdash eat. But he throws the hair underneath that pot. Okay, it says more. At the Tor, no matter what, whether he's in the Beis HaMikdash or outside the Beis HaMikdash, he brings his hair and tosses it under the pot. At Tomei, the guy who's Tomei, kach v'kach, no matter where he is, inside or outside the Beis HaMikdash, ain't no maybe. They argue. A guy who's Tomei in the Beis HaMikdash and a guy who's Tor outside the Beis HaMikdash, ain't no maybe. He doesn't bring his hair under the pot at all. The only guy who throws his hair under the pot is only El Amagalech Betara, somebody who's taking his haircut in purity, Pesach Omrei at the opening of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbanan Meir Rabbanan say, Achi Esot Roi V'Samuch. He has to be suitable, meaning Tahar, and Samuch, adjacent, meaning inside the Beis HaMikdash. Rameir Meir Roi Avavishen V'Samuch. He has to be suitable, meaning Tahar, even though he's not adjacent, even though he's outside the Beis HaMikdash. Samuch, if he's adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash, meaning he's inside the Beis HaMikdash, Avishen Roi, even though he's not Tahar, he's Tameh. In both those, in all cases, Rameir says, you throw your hair under whatever carpet is available, except if you're a Tameh outside the Beis HaMikdash. But if one of two qualities, you're either Tahar or in the Beis HaMikdash, then your hair is a candidate to be burnt under the pot. Okay? Halachatess. You owe shoka. This is actually the next Gemara to the next Mishnah is actually one of the most fundamental sugyas in all the Shas. No exaggeration. You were cooking the shlomi, owe shoka, or you were very overcooking them. Cooking the shlomi or overcooking them. We're on the 61. Lam Rav. You are cooking the shlomi or shokan, or you're overcooking them, which is okay. Very important concept. This is a unique carbon. Normally, you give the kohen raw portions. The raw portions it gets from a shlomi are the chaz of a shok, the chest and the thigh. From the ayil. I don't know if it's an addition. I think it might. I don't remember if it's addition or only. I don't remember. But he gets all. Let's say it's an addition. The zra bishela. He gets also the forearm after it's cooked. Okay, after it's cooked. Now it means you're cooking the stuff which the nudge is going to eat, the rest of the shlamim, with the forearm which is going to go to the kohen. Now this is a very big shaila, obviously, which our Gemara is going to deal with later on. Because if it's cooked together, kachim and chulin, how can the Yisrael eat whatever's there? If the nazir is Yisrael, how can he eat it, right? It's a very basic question. What?
Why is it chulin?
I mean, you're right, it's not chulin. I didn't mean chulin. Chulin is the wrong term. It's that which is mutter to Yisrael, that which is only mutter to Kohanim. That's what I meant to say.
So you can't split it up?
No, but you have to cook it together. It's a special look. You have to cook it together.
What about other
krabos? All the krabos, you split them up raw. You take all the part which goes to before you cook it. Right, they cook it separately, but here you're cooking together. Okay, so I'm back to the story with Shloka. The coin nettles is rubber shale in the coin takes the cooked forearm. The chayas matzachas means one loaf of matzah from the basket, rocky matzah echad, and one disc of matzah. The nosan al kapei nazir, he puts on the nazir's hands, umanifon, and they wave it together. V'chakol chusa utar nazir lishtos yibayin, then the nazir is permitted to drink wine, leave time in the mason, and go to the levayis. Mishir mer kevet shizukel of echum in adamin, once one of the carbonates is done, Huter anozilush does behind to him, he can drink wine and go to Leviathan as well. Masnisa Amra, our mission teaches us, Sholok Kori Mavushal. The same which is overcooked is called cook. The thing that we learn Tori Mavashar Shalom, Oshoka, you don't just have to cook it precisely, you can even overcook it. The Karya Amra, we also have Pastors tells us, Shatzli Kori Mavushal, something roasted is called cooked as well. The Chsivit says, Vaivashal Sa Pesach, they cook the Pesach Baish in fire. Now, obviously you don't cook a Korban Pesach, you roast a Korban Pesach, right? If you cook it, you can't eat it. That's not kosher, right? In Tema Shulkalach, maybe you say, well, here, it's a Pesach, the very Yom, and they were Amaratim. They did it wrong. They cooked the Pesach. They were fools. They were ignorant. So says more, no, right? It can't be, because Rabbi Yonah Butzchaya, Ahmed says there in the Pesach, the very Yom, Kamish, but they did it properly. We also have a brisa which tells us that so he overcooked is called cooked. And what's the brisa that says? I'm sorry, it's a I muffed that. Says Moromasnis Omer Shasholik Kor Mavusho. The Zohar and Mishnah tell us that Sholik is called Mavusho, so the overcook is called cook. If that's the case, the following statement is difficult. Vatina, then we learn in Dorim, and in fact, this Gemara appears in the Dorim, the beginning of this Gemara. Anoidim in Mavusho, so he takes a neder, a vow not to eat cooked stuff. Mutter Bitzli is allowed to eat roast Ushok and overcooked stuff. So how so? If something which is overcooked is called cooked, how come he's allowed to eat it? So says the Gemara, Amrei B'yochan Yechad said, Hochub in Nedarim Acher Loshim Neodom. By Nedarim, they follow the language of human beings. What does it mean the language of human beings? They follow the human beings don't call that which is cooked, that which is overcooked and roasted cooked. The Torah does. The Mishnah does, but people don't. So therefore, in his nether, when he said he's taking a nether from a mevusho, it's only stuff which is cooked and not stuff which is overcooked or roasted. Says Rabbi Yeshu argues. Rabbi Yeshu said, in fact, he holds by Nedarim that we follow Loshon Torah, and therefore this individual who took a nether not to eat mevusho would be also in Tzli and Sholok. What's the difference between their two perspectives? He's forswearing the drinking or consumption of wine on chag. Because we call Shmini Atzeres Sukkos. I'll date the Rabbi and Chagas Sukkos, of course. I'll date Rabbi Yochan, because Rabbi Yochan also be on the Vachan. He's forbidden on Shmini Atzeres. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I went back a line. I'll date Rabbi Yochan Mutu, according to Rabbi Yochan's Brenner, because in the Torah itself, Shmini Atzeres is called a Yotav Bifnei Atzmo. So therefore, his netter would not include Shmini Atzeres. Says more of Rabbi Yeshua, my dad, Shuasar. Nah! Rabbi Yeshua also concedes that you can't have wine at Shmini Atzeres. Why? Because in our time-honored tradition, Lom Rabbi Yeshua El Chumrin. Rabbi Yeshua did not have to show him. Want this perspective to be construed as grounds to be makel. It's only grounds to be machmir, meaning if you have something which, according to the Lashon B'nei Adam, would not become Osir via a vow, but according to the Lashon Torah would become Osir via a vow, so that is in Koran Rabbi Yosha, where machmir on, that thing becomes Osir as well. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Chiya Baba Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Along these lines, Chiya Baba Omer Rabbi Yochanan Ocha Chalita. Said, Rabbi Yochanan ate something which is chalita. Chalita is like when you make knedlach. It's seared, boiled and seared in hot water, right? So he ate chalita. Varma says, Lotamis mazon by the yoima. I didn't taste any nourishing food today. So the one asks, what do you mean? Not you didn't taste any mazon today. For that time, we learn anoyim in a mazon. Somebody forswears benefit from mazon for nourishing food. Mutzer b'mayim u'melach. He's allowed to eat water and salt, but nothing else in the world. So we see all foodstuffs are called mazon, right? Everything is really called mazonos, right? So if that's the case, how can you say he didn't taste any mazon today? So it says, by the way, Bustle like Rabbi Yeshua, he's going like Rabbi Yeshua. That Gemara which says that when people take a nether from Mazon, they're forbidden to have everything besides water and salt, that's going like Rabbi Yeshua. Dharma Yilchum Nedarim Acha Lashon Torah. Well, said in the Dharma we follow Lashon Torah. In the Torah, everything is called Mazon. Anything. But in Lashon Neodim, what's called Mazon? Only Mazonis, not anything else. Only something baked. Okay? Right. That's the Lashon Torah. That's correct. Okay? That's language of the Torah. How do we know that? In Lashon Torah, everything is called Mazon. Rabbi Yaakov Rula said, the Esra Asonos Nosos Bar Velecha Mazon. It says that Yaakov sent back to Mitzrayim 10 she donkeys carrying bar, which is grain, lechem, food, umazo, the grimer, etc. Matar umazo. It already says, grain and bread. That should include all types of mazonis, right? And when we come, must be shekol dvorim. Everything else is also kri mazon, could be called kri mazon as well. Okay? Now, ksiv. Now we get into very important sugis. Very, very important for now. Okay? From now to next mishnah, very important stuff. Ksiv, well, not, you know, not next mishnah. Ksiv, it says, he takes the arm, the forearm cooked from the ram. If it says cooked, does it mean it's cooked by itself? No, can't be. He's saying from the ram. So how does he do? He cuts the forearm. It should be kisaro, not kisaro, until he leaves a hair breadth of a touch, right? That there's, in other words, it's hanging literally by a string, the forearm from the rest of the body. So ask more of low. Why is that? I'll tell you in a minute. V'lo hekdesh b'lem in achov v'lo achov b'lem in hekdesh. So that's a good question. What about the, see, I use the word chol because it appears here, but it's lavdavka chol, right? The hektish, if the arm is absorbing from the rest of the body, that doesn't matter, it matters to us. But the main thing is no, that's what matters to us. The body is, the arm is absorbing from the body. No, that doesn't matter to us. What matters to us is that the body is absorbing from the yam. Alright, because the body is what the Yisrael is going to eat and absorbing what belongs to the Kohen. Now, the Or Sameach is a beautiful pshat. Why do you have to cut and leave it dangling by hair breath? What good does that do? It's being cooked together. So what's the point? So he says a gewaldige pshat. He says because you have to salt the animal before you cook it. It's halacha, right? You have to salt anything you want to cook. We have halacha that malua, maliach, if you salt two things together, it's mavliya, causes absorption, kidei klipa. A surface level is absorbed from one and the other, right? So later on we're going to speak about what happens to the cooking together, why that doesn't answer the rest of the animal, right? But besides that, we have the issue, how come the point where they come into contact is not osir, because the salt causes the kachim taste to be absorbed in the rest of the body. On that, the Gemara is saying, you cut it and sever it as much as possible in order to prevent the absorption through salting. Okay? In order that it won't be touching. Because if they were touching, then the salting would cause the absorption back and forth. It's a beautiful shot in the Gemara. Okay, so it says it's not just an arbitrary act, but rather it's halachically grounded. No, because it's only hanging by hair breadth. In other words, it's really basically severed. It's not kisora, it's kisora, like a hair. Right, because the rest of the surface area is detached. It has to be the surface area. That hair breadth would become ulcer. That hair breadth would become ulcer, because that's where that's the point of contact. But all the rest of the surface area would not become ulcer. Okay, that's his approach. Now we're gonna get distracted before we come back in. Home back in on the basic issue here, because we're going to quote a whole sugi in Orlo, which is basically a parallel to our sugi over here. Chilvi shol Rabbi Yochanan, Ilfa asked Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Shimon Lakish as well. Tevel, now here it's spelled with a test, but it should be spelled with a tough. Tevel with a tough is a spice, an herb. Now spice is spicy, right? Normally we say, what's the shear of taste? Of taste. Get to impart a taste to something. Shishim, 60th. No, St. Tom is a 60th, right? But what about a spice? If it's pepper of Orlo, let's say. What? No. There's nothing which is both in the thousand. It's either 100, 200 max. Hey, I feel elf low batil. Yeah. Okay. There is something which is batil 1 in 960th. I forget what it is. Some obscure thing, but I forget what it is. But nothing is really a thousand. So it says the Gemara. So he said, "What tevel mau? What's the story with tevel? She yosers does it asim yosim yisayim, but it's orla itself asks 1 in 200. What about a spice of orla? Does that answer more than 200?" Armelay, they said, "No, ain't tevel be yosim yisayim. Even spice is not asim more than 1 in 200. How can you say this? Well, then we learn kol mecham, it's anything which ferments, v'ametavel or it's spices, v'amedamea." Or causes a mixture, Now, there it says the rest of the Mishnah goes on. In Truma, in Orla, in Kiliyah Kerem, it's Osir, right? All these things are forbidden. And so there it says. So the Gemara says, "Itam lemeim asayim." If you're going to say that it's only Osir in 100 or 200, like the standard shear, orlo asus in 200, right? The stuff within the first 3 years, and truma asus in 100. So why are you picking on fermenting, spicing, everything the shear is always 100 or 200? What's the singling out these as being unique? Even if it didn't cause fermentation, even if it didn't cause spices, it must be there's a different parameter for spices than for fermentation than everything else. So says, well, you know what? You're right. By spices, take as long as you can taste it, even more than 1 in 100, more than 1 in 200 asers. Ella, over here. So why is it talking in this mishnah that even chimetz and tivel, even if it causes fermentation or if it causes spice, it's still only 100, 200. We're talking about a mild spice. What's a mild spice? Elabanovim. Grape spice. It's not really a spice, you know, it just gives a flavor. Okay, I mean, that's mild, therefore it's 1 in 100, 1 in 200. Rabbi Yosef Hashem, Rabbi Yochan said, Bishalov Tzimku. That's only if the grapes are not raisins. I mean, Tzimku, if they're raisins, Yesh Tevel Yesh Mitzrayim, the Takim part tastes even more than 1 in 200. And Chemishem Yehovah said, Bishalov Bishal. Now, the two interpretations here, Rabbi Moshe says, well, you didn't cook them. The Kormeana says, they're not ripe. But it's Avli Bishlo, but if they're either cooked according to Moshe or ripe according to the Kormeana, Yesh Tevel Yesh, it's spiced with more. I'm not sure if we must say 1 in 200. I'm not so happy with the Kormeana because I think actually unripe grapes are probably more sour and give more taste than ripe grapes. Right? That's just my hunch. But, okay, maybe I'm wrong. Says the okay. Rabbi Yassel B'Shem, now it's honed back in on this. Rabbi Yassel B'Shem, Lei B'Shem, Rabbi Dani said, Kol nos nei tarmim, no matter what it is, it's 1 in 100. So, spices might be more, but everything else is 1 in 100. Rabbi Chiya B'Shem, Rabbi Yeshem B'Shem, Rabbi Yoshem Ben Levi, Shem Rabbi Dani said, Kol nos nei tarmim, everything which gives taste, is 1 in 60. Right? Am I sure Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Ha Rabbi Yasa Poligoloch? He said to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, who said that it's 60, didn't Rabbi Yasa argue and say that it's 100? Avamas Nisa Pligal Terechon. And it's a mission which tries on both of you. Well, we had on Omanav, Kom Chametz Tamea, Metamim Damea. All those things which he brought down in Oman Aleph, right? That it must be that they're more than 1 in 100, more than 1 in 200. Because he tells the man Messiah, if you say that it follows 100 or 200, I feel low chimates, I feel low tibet, even if it didn't cause fermentation or cause spicing. Ella, Biyaskar, it must be that there's certain things which are even more than 1 in 100, even more than 1 in 200. What are they? Those things mentioned in the Mishnah over there. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, "Tipater baser baser." That which is 60 is when it's meat and meat. Now it doesn't necessarily mean min bimino. Min bimino is obviously, according to most poskim, the rice is batel in a simple majority. But meat and meat means something bland and something bland. Okay, that there the shear is 1/60th. If it's something spicy and something bland, it might be more. Okay? But that which I said, 160 is just bland in bland. Or likely spiced and likely spiced. Okay? Something of that sort. So it says, Rabbi Yossi says, Hu baser basu shayisurin. It's saying that it's true by meat and meat and any other prohibition as well, right? Exactly the point. Meat and meat is lap dafka. It means something bland and something bland or something of similar spicy quality characteristics and something of similar spicy characteristics. Okay? Rabbi Shem Yehovah said, Uli Iser, and there's a prohibition. B'shayisur kilu batso kilu kaflut. It's even if it's as if an onion in turnip. Turnip is the forerunner of the potato. So, it's like a neutral vegetable. So, Rabbi Yochanan is saying even onion and potato, or onion and turnip, doesn't give a shear more than 1/60. Has to be real spice in order to give a taste. But even something which has some degree of sharpness, like onion, still loses its taste when you get up to 60. Okay? Says the Gemara, Maikadun. Okay. Let's get back to our sugi over here. What's going on over here with the cooked forearm? So I ain't Omar no sitam echo mea, but I ain't Omar no sitam echo shishim. We have one guy says no sitam is 1/100, and the other says no sitam is 1/60. Ushneim lom to me el nozi. They both learned that from our sugi. How do you learn that from our sugi? Madar no sitam echo mea. He says those time is 1/100. Adai says that's right. Lyle, the forearm is 1/100 of the ram. Man, my nosi time is echem shishim. He says that nosi time is 1/60. Adai says that's right. You look at the forearm. Echem shishim lyle is 1/60 of the ram. Now, how could it be both? Right, the chorat shouldn't be, but can't be both. So man, my nosi time is echem shishim. Seems like it's machlokas in the size of a ram, in the proportion of the ram. So what's the machlokas? Yeah, that's what it seems. The Gemara doesn't want to say that. Says the Gemara, no seitam echo mimeo. That's a very, very fundamental Gemara. He says that no seitam is 1/100. He says, at moitze, es azroa, should be minatzamos. You take out of the forearm its bones. You're only reckoning the meat of the forearm corresponding to the rest of the animal. And the meat of the forearm corresponding to the rest of the animal is 1/100. Mandamar nositam echoshishim is 1/60th, and motzias rominatzomos, you're taking the whole forearm again with its bones corresponding to the whole rest of the animal, which is bones. What?
There's something's got to be that.
I'll come to that second. Give me a minute. I just want to point out the Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi before we go, because the Gemara is actually going to deal with that. The Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi. The Bavli says that the Manamar says it's 1/100 hold that we do meat opposite meat. Okay, the meat of the ram opposite the meat of the rest of the animal. And we don't take both into account at all. The one on the Rushal Bavli says, it's the Gemara Chulin, Daf Tzadik Ches. The Gemara Chulin there says also, the one that says 1/60, it says, we take meat plus bones, corresponding to meat plus bones. There's no Shita in the Yerushalmi, in the Bavli like the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, the man who holds 1/100 says, we take the meat without the bones, and make that, and vis-a-vis the rest of the animal with the bones. Okay? There's no, it's either with the bones, both, or without the bones, both. But the Ushami has a shita, which is to take out the bones of the Zerub Shela from the accounting, but leave the bones in the rest. So now the Ushami is going to explain the shita, which again the Bavli is not bringing down. So this says the Gemara, Ukshem Shad Moiti, it says Meraki is the Ushami itself. Now, oh, by the way, I should point out the Chasam Sofer on the bottom. It's somewhat torturous, but he does have a cute pupilistic shot as to why it's not a machlokes and metzias. Seems to be a machlokes and go measure rams and figure out the proportions. So he tries to make it not a machlokes and metzias. But it's too complicated to get into right now. Says the Gemara, Kshem Shah Moitzi, Satsumitzi, Israel, Kaha Moitzi, Minayo. Why don't you take, if you're going to Kohen Peter Joel, it's 1-100. Because you don't take out the bones in the forearm. So don't take out the bones in the rest of the animal as well. Why do you make such a distinction? Why do you take out the bones from the forearm and not from the rest of the animal? Says Yushalmi, very fundamental. Leis Yochli, you can't say that. The Tani we learned, Ein Tinoifer Sho Truma, Mitzdarevis Ima Truma. If you have, let's say, the shells and pits of a Truma fruit, it doesn't join with the Truma less or Zachulis. Not only that. The shells and husks of the chulin, right? The shells and husks are the same thing. The shells and seeds of the chulin, they join the chulin, lahalos is a truma to lift up the truma. Why is that? Because the forbidden taste, when you cook it in the head, diffuses also in the shells and the pits, right? So if the shells and the pits diffuse and dilute the taste. So therefore you can count them of the shells and pits of chulin with the chulin and diffusing the taste. Another step, says the Gemara, and therefore the Gemara comes to the next conclusion. Rabbi asks, Tinofes Sho Truma Maushi Tlitztaivim HaChulin. Let the Tinofes, the shells and pits of the Truma, join with the chulin. Lauses are Truma. In order to dissipate the taste of the truma. And Takawi passed in that way. Well, I shouldn't say that. Madam Rabuna, Rabuna Taka says that. Klipi Isur, the shells of the Isur, Mitztafim Laatir, they join up to diffuse the taste in order to make it mutter. Adama teaches us, Tinaivasho Truma, the refuse of Truma, Mitzarevizi, Matruma Laosu Chulin, joins up the Truma to uplift the Chulin. It's a gewaltige chiddush of the Yerushalmi. And the B'Shulchan Aruch passed it this way. That the shells and husks of the prohibited substance are not inherently awesome. And therefore they join in creating volume of mass to dissipate the taste of the Isser. Now the nafkamina of this, of course, is our case here. The Yerushalmi is saying, you don't take out the bone of the forearm. Not only don't you count the bone of the forearm, but the bone of the forearm could actually join with the rest of the bones to dissipate the prohibition. Because it's not prohibited. It's the meat of the forearm which is the prohibition, not the bone. Now this is the sugya. This sugya is the basis for the question of gelatin. Did you know that? This is mamish the question. Because gelatin, officially, kosher gelatin, officially gelatin's made from bones and hides of treif animals. So if you hold the bones and hides of treif animals, like the Yerushalmi Paskins here, are not osir, not only that, they can join together to be matir, right? Only the meat is osir, so then gelatin, there's no isir in gelatin made from pig's bones, or a pig hide. Whatever it's made from wouldn't be prohibited. It's on this. That's the hide has to be Yovish Kates in order to be Matirit. But even then, you still have to come out to this Gemara. Yes. But it's primarily made from bones also. Now, the thing is like this. Why are we machmir? Why are many people? Why is there Baron Kotler? To be more specific, machmir and gelatin. Because as the Mara Ponim brings down, hey, the Bavli seems to argue in the Yerushalmi, right? Because the Bavli doesn't have the Svara. They take the bones out of the Zroa B'Sheila and not out of the rest of the animal. The Bavli says, can I be both ways? See, the bones and bones and meat and bones and meat, or without bones and without bones. So the Yerushalmi, now, the Shulchan Aruch does paskin like this Yerushalmi. You look on the side here, an Ayin Beis and the Ayin Mishpat, it brings down the Shulchan Aruch. But it doesn't bring down the Rambam. And Rabban Kotler is Medaik in the Rambam, that the Rambam doesn't hold this Yerushalmi. That the Rambam holds that the Atzamos of Isser are Usser. And that's why Rabban Kotler asked for gelatin. Because he held that the Rambam argues on the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch is actually arguing the Rambam, but the Rambam argues on the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam paskins not like the Yerushalmi in this case, but rather like the Bavli, and that's why he taka aser gelatin from non-kosher animals because of that reason. Okay, so that's the machlokas from Chaim in a nutshell, in a bone. That's the machlokas from Chaim Moiser. And that Ravana called it Al Jolton. CH22 from you know, Nyko Grandma Tape Library. Yes. CH, it's the tape. It's the tape on top of it. Yeah. Sure, right. It's a chiddush to say the Shulchan Aruch, the arguments on the Rambam, but that's what they're going to speak about. The Maraponim, if you want an overview of the Maraponim in the back here already, the name Moshe's Tosfos, quote unquote, he already goes through that and says that Mei Achorim say the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch don't see eye to eye. So it's not as if Rabbi Kola came up with that chiddush, but just the application of the gelatin, which was Rabbi Kotler's, what? Yeah, it's one of the, but not always. It seems to me after all said and done, the Rambam basically paskin like his favorite Amoroim, regardless of where they appear. Meaning he cross-referenced Bavli and Yerushalmi. I don't mean his favorite ones, but you know, whichever ones are more authoritative, they, regardless of where they appear. That's my impression of the Rambam. Another point that I should make is that the Rash, who's one of the Rishonim in Orla, says that this whole Gemara is just an asmachta, because he says Zro b'sheila is min b'mino, and midaraisa min b'mino is batel in a simple majority. So the whole concept of shishim and 100, that applies by something which is min b'sheino mino, where there's actually a time. But here it's just the yeshitzol, it's just a, here it's just an asmachta ba'alma. So therefore, that kind of puts an interesting spin on the sugya, which might also give the Rambam fuel for his fire, that you can't extrapolate from a whole sugya which is said about asmachta to other areas. I don't know, could be. Anyway.
Can you draw the assumption and the comparison between what's around to whom and trade?
That's what the that's what the sugya is doing. That's what the Yerushalmi is doing. Yeah, you can do it. Yes. The Rambam though doesn't even bring it down by truma. That's the thing. Rambam doesn't bring down by truma. And the Rabbanan Kol has another diuk that which I don't remember offhand, but he has a long diuk in a Rambam about Tarfus, where he wants to prove that the Rambam holds that the bones of Isser are Osir. And I don't but the gist of it is based on this sugya. Okay? Says more further. Tani Rabbi Chizkiah. Rabbi Chizkiah learned. Koma shasati l'cha mokom acher, itarti l'cha kat. Rabbi Chizkiah is normally at 101. 100 is not enough. 1 to 100, not 1 to 99. But here, by Rabbi Shela, it's only 1 to 99. So that which is normally aser, I made here mutzah. Every place, male also may have old mutz. It's got to be a little bit more than 100. Well, the car here, I feel a male mutz, even one in 100 is okay. Rav Ashi Amar, now, Rav Amar, sorry. Now, out of left field, we don't pass, Rav doesn't pass them like Rav, but it's an amazing thing. Rav Amar, Tznufa Ma'akevitz Ben Nozir. The waving is an impediment by Nozir. Nozir's got to wave the carbonus around. Says more about Tanaki. This thing we learned: Torah Sanozir, the parameters of a Nozir. Ben Sheyesh Lo Kanafayim, whether he has wings, obviously it's a typo, means Kapayim, whether he has arms. Ben Sheyesh Lo Kapayim, or he doesn't have arms, he can get out of his Nazirus, which means he doesn't have to wave. When he doesn't have arms, he doesn't have to wave. So says the Gemara, the Amar Rav, amazing Gemara. That which Rab says that you must wave is Benozer Sheesho, it's a Nozer Sheesho which has wines, has arms. That which the Bryce says you don't have to wave is a Nozer who doesn't have arms. The Tanya can we learned this Taka. How Roya the Tnufa is somebody suitable to do Tnufa. Tnufa Makevispo, he's got to do Tnufa. Shane Roya the Tnufa is somebody that's not suitable to have to do it because he doesn't have arms. Ain't Tnufa Makevispo, he doesn't have to do Tnufa. The exact opposite of the Klal of Kol Tarakulam. Right. All over we say, call a royal bila, if you can mix something, and bila makabas, but you don't have to mix. Kosh and royal bila if you can't mix it, because you're physically not capable of mixing it. So bila makabas, but then you must mix it, and meaning that it's no good. Here it's the exact opposite. Call royal, so there are some math. Everybody goes to town on this. Some math says, he says, the Yushalmi, he brings down from some Yushalmi, the Yushalmi also holds a Koroi Labila and Bila Makevizbo. Yushalmi also holds Pitzel. So what does Yushalmi here say here? So he says, the Gavaldika thing. He says, we didn't see this inside, we did Yvomus, so I'll mention it now. The Gemorni Yvomus, the Rama Paschal by Yvomus, if a guy's blind, you can't do Chalitza to him. Because he's got to see the saliva. And we never had this, as far as I recall. Not in Pavli nor Yushami. But around Pasadena, I don't know where it comes from. So in any event, so there, or Samuel says, what about if he was blind before they began the Chalitza? All long discussion. Anyway, be that as it may, he comes up with this fundamental principle. He says that within the process, when you're within a process, we say, if it's suitable, if you could have done the process, it's not necessary to do the process. If you couldn't have done the process, then it is necessary to do it, meaning, and therefore it's possible. Something which comes after the process, the exact opposite is true. There we look at how you were at the time the process began, or the time you did the process. If at the time you did the process, you were suitable to do this post facto icing on the cake, so to speak, then you must do the icing on the cake. If the time you were doing the process, you weren't suitable to do the icing on the cake, then the icing on the cake is not necessary. So that's how he explains. When we say koroi lebila bila makevesvo kosher enroi lebila en bila makevesvo means when you bring a mincha, you're supposed to mix the oil into the flour. And we say you don't have to as long as it's suitable to do so. Right? That's within the process. Since since the process can be brought to fruition, even without doing the actual deed, as long as you meet some basic parameters, so I say even if you didn't do it, it still works. But what about something which comes after the process? Such as over here, tenufa is after the carbon has been slaughtered and the blood has been sprinkled, right? So at that point, the whole process has been done. So then we say, if at the time you were engaged in the process, you had arms, so then you're fixed, you must do the tenufa afterwards. Or if you didn't have arms, then the icing on the cake was tax superfluous and you don't have to do it afterwards. Okay? So it's a little bit convoluted, but that, basically as some man will say, within the process itself, sometimes I can skip steps. But something which comes after the process, the fact that I was suitable to do that when the process was occurring, that fixes me in, freezes me into place that I must do that subsequent thing. Okay, does that make any sense? Okay, so that's what the Gemara says here, that since snufa is after the process of the rest of the carbon, so therefore whatever with your status of the time fixes what you have to do later on. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says similar thing. Seir ma'keves benozir. You must have hair. You don't have to cut it, but you must have hair. Ketnufos. Right? Now again, this makes the same idea because Lamaisa, what if you have a nozir is taka bald? You taka doesn't have any hair. So according to, he can become a nozir. But a nozir who had hair, he has to have his hair at the time he does korbanos. See, a nozir who never had hair, he doesn't have to have the same idea. He doesn't have to have no hair when he does korbanos. But a nozir who had hair, he has to have hair when he does korbanos. So therefore, even if he lost his hair some other way, right, without breaking his ears, like Yushami holds, that if he lost his hair through any other way other than a razor, it doesn't break us in the zeros. But Lamaisa, according to Shmuel, he can't bring his korbanos until his hair grows back. He got in the middle, right. You have to wait till it's right. You have to wait until it goes back. Yeah, it means another, right. Okay? If you began, I don't know if it goes by the time when you begin the zeros, the time you come to bring your korbanos. I'm not sure, but let's assume it goes by the time you begin. Right, so Taka, L'chor, he would have to become a Nazir forever. Oh, stay a Nazir forever. Kid Nufos, just like Nufos. Ukibonos Shel Metzora. And the same thing, if a Nazir had, if a Metzora had big toes and thumbs, and then he loses them, so he can't ever get a beginning out of being Metzora. But I tell you, he learned Torah from Metzora, Beishish bonus, Beishish bonus, he doesn't have to have big toes and thumbs. So, Patel Krabi Lezer, that's Rabbi Lezer, to Amr, I know you say now, we don't pass this Rabbi Lezer, I don't even know if he appears in the Bavli. We talk a Paschal, Nozir has no thumbs and big toes, even if he never had them. He can never get out of being a Metzora. But Rabbi Lezer says, as long as you can just imagine that he has thumbs and big toes and put the blood there. And the more all the Achronim asset that's later on seems to contradict it, but that's what it says over here. Okay. Kilech HaOzevach Benimtza Pasuk. If you shave, you know, before, since we're probably going to have to stop in the middle, Lamaisa, let's talk about schedule for the rest of the summer. Next week, Kites starts. Kites is a big pain. Kites, the summer camp. Because they daven at irregular times. So what I'm proposing, if it's acceptable to all of you, is to learn in Lincolnwood, at least until Kites is over. What? But the thing is, we have to learn earlier then. Except for Monday nights. Monday nights I give shir till later. But the rest of the week we'd have to learn after Marav, which is over around 8:40. Minchas at 8:20, and Marav is right after, so it's over around 8:40. It's going to fluctuate during the summer. So if that's acceptable, then we could start doing that either tomorrow night or Monday. Or on Monday you're probably not going to... Yeah. Okay. But Monday I give the shiur anyway, Nach, so you would come later anyway on Monday. Right. What? I know, once we have no sheep with the beer anymore, so we might as well take advantage of that. Okay, so we can start tomorrow night or we can start Monday. You want to learn here tomorrow night, learn Lincolnwood tomorrow night. Lincolnwood? You're not gonna be here tomorrow night, yeah. So you wanna learn Lincolnwood? Okay, so we'll learn after Marav and Lincolnwood tomorrow night. Okay, fine. Okay, Lamaisa, I don't want to run into... Oh, I have another minute. Might as well just finish. Go as far as I can. Kilecho Zebach. If you shaved on a korban of Nimtza Pasuk, Nevach, the korban is found to be shreif, right? Tiglach to Psula. You got to start from scratch. Your shaving was Pasuk. Mizbach of La'olah, and of course the other carbonus didn't work, the carbonus doesn't work. Any carbon you brought afterwards is a carbon labatola. Kilecha atchatash lo lishma, simply if you sacrifice chatash lo lishma. Bacharkach evi carbonus lishma, then brought other carbonus lishma. Tiglach to psula. The tiglach, as it was done on the chatas, is possible. Uzvach of La'olah and the carbonus don't work afterwards. Kilech ba'olah ba'shlamish shalol lishman. What about the olah shlamish shalol lishman? Chakei v'yikamras lishman. And then brought other carbonus lishma. Tilach l'psul. It's also possible. Uzvach of La'olah. Reb Shomer also sevach La'olah. It's not true. He says the carbon didn't count, but charcoal zvach of La'olah, but it's nevertheless the other carbonus do work. Why? Because Lamaisa, he says, as long as you're Megaleach on some carbon, which is a valid carbon, even if it wasn't Lishma, that's enough. So Chatash Lishma is possible. But Olash Lishma is a Kosher Ola. So the Yushalmi is going to say, what if he was Megaleach on Shami Chagiga? Right? Which is, of course, nothing to do. Shami Shlomi brought. Not even Shlomi Shlishma, but Shami Shami Chagiga. So the Yushalmi holds that works too, according to Rabbi Shimon. Not according to any other Tanoim, but according to Rabbi Shimon, it works. All right, he's about to start Marv, so we'll stop here.